Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bob Ginsberg, our regular co-hosts for the last 100 years, Tom and Melissa Brunmeyer, and
hey,
our relative newcomer, Marta Kane, Kristen Kane is here. Hello, Marta.
Hey. Hello.
Hello, Tom and Melissa. As you know, this is our, well, you guys know, but if the listeners I'm talking to, this is the show where we answer questions that you may have. Some people have emailed us questions before the show. You're welcome to call in live. We'd love to talk to you. The number here is 888-627-6008. Give us a call. And again, it's 888-627-6008. Before we get started, two housekeeping things. We have, I think there are three seats left for our parents-only retreat in a couple of weeks, in October 17th in San Jose, California. If you need to be there, go on the website. Registration is also open for our January retreat, which is open to all people who have sustained all types of losses, and that's in Fort Myers, Florida. Having said that, we can get right into the program, and let's see if I put on my glasses some things that came in. We have, in medium readings, the medium has described my deceased brother very accurately and also said he is with dogs, is by the ocean, which he loved in this life, listening to his music, which he loved in this life, etc. These comments raise questions in me regarding what it's like once we cross over. My sense is that our spirit becomes like an energy beam that can be in a lot of places all at the same time, like rays of sunshine, for example. But are we still enjoying the things we enjoyed in this life? Does the spirit listen to music? Do they go to the ocean? Well, Michelle, you have a lot of questions there. I wish we had all the answers for you.
Seems like the answer is kind of in the question about that. Yes, or you're a spirit that can go in many places. I love the term like rays of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. And, exactly. You know, and we talk about consciousness a lot and how consciousness can be everywhere simultaneously. So, you know, you've got that, you know, in the question. A lot of people ask us, you know, what they're doing over there. Are they still enjoying the things that they enjoyed in this life? You know, maybe they have different interests and they're enjoying other things, but, you know, a lot of people have reported in channel reports and that they do things that they used to do in the physical because they can just manifest those things by thought. So you know, the musicians still play music and the artists still paint or sculpt or whatever craft that they did.
Or so, maybe if there was a talent they always wanted to pursue but never had, maybe they can do that now as well. Maybe there are a lot of opera singers or sculptors or even oceanographers, people exploring the bottoms of the sea.
Yeah, and also I think the key to the answer to this is that when it's not a different place, you're not in a different place. It's the same place. You're just in a different vibration, level of vibration. So you can go to the actual ocean. If you love the ocean, you can go and sit on the shores of the ocean. if you love music, hey, you can stand on stage with Taylor Swift at her next concert and not having to worry about scalpers. So, yeah, you can enjoy all of that stuff.
Yeah.
More.
As an actor or as an artist, I've read quite a bit about the process of the creative process. And I was very interested when I read Bob Dylan's comment about he didn't know where his music came from. He didn't know where the language came from. It just happened. And I'm a painter. And when I paint, I look at the painting and I say, I have no idea where that came from. It just sort of, it's just exhibited. And I think that perhaps we're tuning in a little bit to what we're talking about, that we have that capability after we pass or transition. And then, but we have it also in our lives. If we just sort of don't even think about it, just sort of let it happen to you.
I love that.
Yeah. And my sense of it is that if there's something that you had a passion for while you were in this physical world, that you will be mentoring and trying to help others from the other side. I mean, Tom, you'll still be putting songs in people's heads, you know, from the other side. And Marta, maybe you'll give actors some inspiration. Melissa, you'll be helping those who need help. I don't know what the hell I'll be doing, but I'll find something. You know?
You'll be finding out the scores of the games before you gamble on them.
I pictured him in a casino. You'll be nudging the guy at the casino table.
You know what? Absolutely not, because there's no material things. What am I gambling for? There's no incentive, which is what we talk about a lot. You know, like people ask if you're going to be the same, if people are going to be the same when they cross over, and probably not, because the same motivations are not there. The egos are not there. Greed is not there. The quest for power is not there. You know, bigotry is not there. So that's why life should be completely different than the other side. And of course, we'll be able to hear what everybody is thinking.
That's right. That's so the fun part.
You can't fool anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's no lying on the other side. Oh,
that's the problem for people who don't want to believe in an afterlife, because they're dreading that. That's right. Not going to be for them.
That's true. But let's see. We have, this question we get pretty much every show. My adult son recently passed suddenly at the end of June. I'm so sorry. My grief is overwhelming. How can I know he's now on the other side? How can I get messages and signs from him? What suggestions do you have? Well, we know he's on the other side. So, you know, how do you know? It's just something that comes from the inside. And maybe you've had contact, and maybe you've had some personal experiences, or maybe you've learned a lot, you know, through reading and learned about all the things that we talk about. You know, as for what can we do, Melissa, I'll turn that over to you. What could we do?
Well, I know that comes up a lot at our grief retreats as well, but on social media sites that I somehow have become a member of, a lot of people mention their loved one. For example, they say, mom died on Wednesday. How soon can I hope to get a message? And I feel like often people hear about signs and messages and feel like it's going to be a big wow moment. And I think it's often much subtler than that. And I feel, you know, badly for people who think this is going to be some big, you know, banner surprise. And it won't be. It'll just be, you know, as we say all the time, a song that is suddenly playing. You might be in shopping. All the stores seem to play music these days. or I'm in your car on the radio, or it might be a fragrance, or it might be an insect. We always hear about birds and butterflies. So I think that people, they want it so badly that they might miss what it is they think they're waiting for. So of course, you're probably expecting me to talk about meditation. And I was thinking about that for our upcoming grief retreat, because we always incorporate meditation and often guided meditation. And people certainly can access guided meditations through YouTube and numerous sources. But I like to remind people that really just sitting quietly for 5 minutes a day, and you can set an alarm on your iPhone and, hey, Siri, set the timer for 5 minutes. Uh-oh, my phone's going to talk to me now. That
5 minutes starting now.
Whoops. And there you go. And just sit quietly and breathe and focus on your breathing and focus on that breath going into every part of your body, down to your toes. And when you get into that relaxed state, you'll be more open. And if it's something you're really interested in trying, stick with it day after day, set time of day. And this is good for anybody who, you know, just wants to relax and feel like they can commune with their loved one in spirit. But once you're able to get yourself more out of your own head, those signs will come, and just trust that your son is at peace, he's in a good place, and surrounded by people who love him, care about him.
By the way, that 5 minute timing was the best case of electronic voice phenomena I've ever heard. It was so clear. You think that was coming from spirit, but
it's going to go off in a minute. I'll have to turn this thing off.
Loved it. If one partner dies after a 35 year marriage, when it is your turn to go and you meet in the afterlife, can mistakes be talked about between the two of you?
Sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course, the mistakes, you may not see them as mistakes anymore. You know, I mean, they were mistakes while we were here in the physical. Maybe we have a broader perspective, you know, where we are now. But I'm sure communication is the key. So,
yeah, I think that all is forgiven. I think that it's all worked out, and there will just be this pure love, and the feelings that you had when you were so in love in your marriage or your relationship, it will be a thousand times more. And I just feel that it will be just this amazing light and feeling of unconditional love.
Yes.
I know when Tom's father had passed away, his mom, of course, was such agony over memories and missed moments. She kept saying, I wish I had, you know, agreed to do more of the things he wanted to do, because he was sort of an adventurer. He loved boating, and she didn't care for those activities as much as he did. And I think she has these regrets, and we tried to let her know, he knows, he loved you, he knows who you are and how you feel. And I mean, clearly she showed her love for him in so many ways, but unfortunately, when you're in grief, you focus on those negative feelings. Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah. So in answer to that question, yes, you can. You still know them, because we've seen many readings where a spirit will come back and apologize for mistakes they have made and the people that they have hurt. So, yeah, you're aware of those things. But as I believe Marta said, when you get there, you all is forgiven. You know, there is nobody standing over you and hitting you on the head saying, you did this, The only hitting on the head is when you do it to yourself, when you get over there and you say, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? So it's a self punishment, if you will. The transition period, it's all about love and compassion, and that's what you will experience.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with Marta this morning about the show, and she asked me a question. Did I ever hear electricity? I thought that was a little odd, but we know that people report all sorts of things involving electrical currents, you know, energy.
Sure.
So, Marta, why don't you explain what the experience that you had with that?
Well, my parents had been married 70 years.
Wow.
Long time.
Yeah.
Very, very close, obviously, and very, very connected. And when my father passed, I had talked about my mother putting her forehead on my father's forehead and looking surprised and saying that I said, what happened? And she said she saw his whole life pass through her body.
Oh.
When after he passed, about a week, maybe 2 weeks later, my father wrote this beautiful poem to me on my 40th birthday. It was he was a professor of philosophy and a poet. And right I had it framed, and right where the poem was, at night, it was electricity coming. I could hear it. And it was like, shh, shh. And I thought, what the hell is that? I said, okay, you know, just let it happen. But it continued every night. It the same thing happened. And I didn't say anything about it because I couldn't explain it. But I figured something otherworldly was happening. So it continued. A couple of months later, I went to Ireland, and I heard it in the hotel room. And I thought, wow, it's following me, whatever it is. And so I called my mom to tell her, tell her, you know, what's going on? You know, I don't know what's going on. She said, oh, I said, I want to tell you something. She goes, wait, I want to tell you something. I'm hearing something that's like electricity. And so we both were hearing it. It thrilled me because I knew it was my father. And when it passed, it stopped immediately and never heard it again. My father was always very quiet and soft-spoken, and my mother was and he didn't care about what happened after passing. But my mother wanted to very much hold on to her personality, but it stopped. I was hoping that maybe my mother would start communicating, but she communicated in other ways. But so I asked Bob, you know, what is this thing with electricity? And he said that it's not uncommon. So I was just rather thrilled with that.
And in your case, what's significant about it is that it came to both of you, you know, and your father went to the two most important people in his life, you know, you and your mom, you know, simultaneously, which is what we were talking about before, you know. So, you know, that's really interesting.
I love that story, Marla.
We have a caller. We have Melanie from Nevada. Hi, Melanie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I was looking for the caller or the question, the very first question, where the person's like, am I getting signs or not? The person whose love just crossed a few months back. But also, it's kind of funny, Marta was talking about her parents because my mom just crossed on August 26th, but fortunately or unfortunately, I have a little bit of experience with all of this now since my daughter died 5 years ago. And so I've learned to kind of bridge. I built that bridge, you know, over these years. But my dad died last November 30th. They'd been married 73 years. Dad had, he was fairly healthy, but he had fallen in July. And so it was very laborious. My mom's life, and we all helped, but it was very difficult, as you can imagine. So my dad crosses and my mom's lost, and I'm trying to coach her on signs and, you know, going through all this for these last 9 months. So then my mom has a stroke, and, you know, fortunately she went fairly quickly, but I was there when my dad crossed and he was ready. Like, he was at peace inside. He was calm. He was so ready. And I was there with him along with some siblings. So I knew. And then the next day, my daughter gave me a sign that he was with her. And I asked her, I'm like, can you give me this quarter if dad's okay, if grandpa's with you? I got it immediately. So then my mom, again, tumultuous 9 months, missing my father, not getting the sign thing. It's just, you know that we all know that horrible grief that you feel in those times when you just miss the person and you can't make that connection very well. So on her deathbed, I said, Mom, we had an inner joke about, I said, ask Dad for a sign. And she's like, well, cast. And I'm like, Mom, you never get out. And I said, but be very specific. She's like, purple cast. That's another story. And she got her purple cap. But I told her, I said, Mom, I want purple caps from you. But she crosses. So it's late on the 26th. She passes. And the next day I go out and I'm not feeling very settled. And I didn't feel like she was settled. So I asked my daughter, and again, my daughter's been in spirit world for 5 years now. I said, Quincy, what's going on? And what I heard in my head was, she has to forget the pain. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. My mom needs time to find the love again, is basically what my daughter was telling me. So sometimes it takes a minute. And then, you know, I hadn't been getting signs from my mom and I was putting a little bit of pressure on and I backed off because I'm like, well, if she has to heal first, you know what I mean? It's not really fair of me to like, come on, Mom, give me that cat. I will tell you, though, I did get a purple cat from her about a couple weeks after she died, but I still am laying off it because I know she's healing. So I guess I'm telling this story because I want people, you know, like that caller, or I'm sorry, they didn't call, they wrote to you, to know that it's okay if you don't get something immediately, because sometimes they need, you know, a chance to kind of get rid of some of the heavy, if that's what life has been. But that's all I wanted to say.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you.
That's a wonderful story.
Sure.
It's very hopeful. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you have these experiences and were able to tell us. It's just great.
Yeah. What kind of purple cat did you get?
That's what I wanted to know.
Because I'm in charge. My mom's, we're going to have her memorial service on the 16th of this month, but I am in charge. I have a big family. And so all of us are doing things. And I was in charge of getting the little cards that people fill out, you know, that they could put a loving memory or whatever. But then I thought, well, it would be nice to have a little, I don't know, I guess they call them funeral party favors, which is kind of weird, but I was looking and I got those little, I know, right? So it had those little hearts that you can plant that says, you know, in our hearts, and they have seeds in them. So I had narrowed it down. Like, I'd spent hours looking for things and I narrowed it down. I had them in my shopping cart, but then it was, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to look some more. And so I was kind of doom scrolling funeral party favors, and there's this cat and it had purple in it and it was one of the seed ones and it had wings on it. So I guess people whose cats died could have it, but I'm like, are you serious? It's got purple in it. So I clicked on it and the company's name is Purple Cat.
Whoa.
It is your purple cat. Well, thanks for sharing amazing? All that, Melanie. I appreciate it.
All right.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, thanks for the show, and I'm going to hang up so we can hear some more.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye. So we have a mediumship question. Mediums often say things like, your mother is proud of you, or she's looking out for you, you know, et cetera. How can I know that this is true?
trust the medium?
Well, we talk about this a lot, you know, because there are some mediums that believe that their sole purpose is to deliver messages, you know, which is fine. But the problem with that is that, as you suspect, how do you know? You know, so we believe that mediums should first establish the evidence, you know, with very, very specific things that the medium couldn't have known. And then if they want to give you a message, you know, take the message, you know. But I'm not a fan of mediums that just give messages without giving you any evidence. I would need the evidence personally to believe that. I mean, your mother loves you. Well, you know, I'm sure there are mothers that don't love their children, but they're few and far between, you know. So you would say, you know, of course. Or when they say they're looking out for you, we believe that they take an interest in our lives, but how do we know? So, Tom, you're going to say something on the subject.
Yeah, those specific details.
Yeah.
And when I just casually said, trust the medium, if it's a medium that has been delivering evidence to you within the reading and concludes with that, that's one thing. But as you said, Bob, you know, those examples you used to give us when we were discussing this early on, and it's a reminder to anyone listening to our program that we're just explorers. We don't have all the answers. We've just been studying everything we can get our hands on for a very, very long time. But you would test us by saying, you know, I have a grandmother here. She likes to bake, and right, she's in the kitchen, and that's not evidence. It's what most grandmothers do, not all, but it has to be much more specific.
Right.
Yeah, maybe a certain recipe or some special pan she was using in the kitchen.
Right.
She always dropped the cinnamon bottle into the batter.
That's specific.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody ate it after she did it. You know.
Yeah.
In fact, that reminds me, Tom's mother, I'm sure it was, you know, and after Tom's dad passed, and she wasn't always thinking clearly, and she had baked it, I believe it was a carrot cake or a banana cake, and she said, you know, it was the oddest recipe. It said, mix by hand, and she literally mixed it with her hands. In a recipe, if it says mix by hand, it means you don't need the electric mixer. It doesn't mean put your hand in the bowl, but stir it with a spoon.
Yeah. Well, some people take things very literally. You have to be careful who you're talking to.
Yes.
Let's see. We have a question. Has there ever been a case where someone in the spirit realm communicated that the physical life is better?
That's a great question. I don't think so.
No, I mean that's one we've heard just about everything, but I really haven't heard that.
No.
Usually you hear the opposite, and you know, we know from people that are resuscitated and have a near-death experience, they're really angry when they are told that they must, you know, return to the physical world, because the physical world is full of pain and hardship, especially if you're on the operating, you know, table.
Yeah.
And where they were was the opposite, you know. So why, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that, and I'd be surprised, you know, if
that
would be fascinating if you get that kind of feedback.
Well, if life is really good here, you know.
Maybe, yeah. You know, well, that could be.
Don't want to go beyond it. Like my mother, she wanted to live forever. And so she is in the transition, but she loved life. And so You know, I think that she fought very hard to live a good life. So she might have been one of them.
Well, I don't know. I have a feeling that much like Steve Jobs, you know, she just got there and said, wow. I thought this life was, you know, prior life was good. You know, this is better.
Sure.
We don't know. Some cultures believe that some eventually reach a state of perpetual peace, whether you call that nirvana or any term that you want to use. Does that mean that those in the non-physical realms are not at peace until they reach enlightenment? So I think I understand, you know, the question, you know, if they're in perpetual peace, but as they're in these other spheres, these other worlds, these other dimensions, and learning and growing, do they not feel at peace, you know, then? Or is it, does it come only after all you've gone through all of the different spheres and reach that final plateau? So I don't know. My sense of it is that we feel at peace almost immediately. And there, maybe there are different stages of peace and different.
I totally agree with that. That's what I was going to say. It's a scale that, yes, there's the physical where you have the pain and suffering that you go through. Then you transition to the energy field and the pain and suffering is gone. So in a sense, there is peace and you're feeling the love and compassion from all the spirits that you're surrounded by. So yeah, so you're at a good level there. It's not like you're in any pain or anything, but I also know from readings that I've gotten and even readings from my own father who suggested that there are other levels, there are higher levels to which you can strive once you get over there. And I do also, I kind of subscribe to the, I guess it's a Buddhist belief that you can get to that state of nirvana of total peace. And I believe that that is possible too, but I don't think that there is, I don't think anything is as difficult as the physical world.
Yeah.
Do you think when you've elevated, when one has elevated on the other side due to more growth and learning that they achieve when they are on the other side, that when they have elevated to this highest level, is that possibly when not as many messages or signs come through?
Yeah, I you know, that's something that troubled me early on when I started reading and exploring and reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead and similar things, is that, you know, many cultures believe that when you reach that stage, whether you call it nirvana or enlightenment, that you merge into the greater consciousness and the greater soul, which to me meant that any memories of the when you were in the physical world, you would then be gone and you're in this perpetual peace. And I thought the same thing that you were just mentioning, that to me that was a little, you know, losing your identity is a bit scary to me, you know, because I mean, I don't really think like that anymore, but then, you know, because I always wanted to be able to talk to my loved ones, and you wouldn't be able to talk to them once they merged into this great sea of consciousness. So I doubt that once you reach that level of enlightenment that there's going to be any communication. Who knows?
Well, Tom always mentions those tentacles that we have everywhere, you know, in the past, in the future. So, Tom, would it be like a tentacle still stays here?
Well, I had an answer to that, to the other question, but now
it'll come back to you.
Yeah, I'm having a moment. I have no answer right now.
Well, it's you know, we don't really know, but it's interesting. You know, it's they say that it's very difficult for somebody, assuming that there are these different levels of frequency and vibration, to come down. You know, I mean, maybe those who recently passed can come back to the physical world and communicate, but once you're up there, you can't come down so many levels to communicate. And that could be a reason why, you know, communication seems to stop for most people after a certain amount of physical time anyway. So it may be easier for us to raise our own frequency and move up a little bit than it is for them to come down. True. I mean, this is dense, this physical existence. And
I do remember what I was, the point I wanted to make is that, well, the comment where, you know, you go up, and then you become part of the whole universe. Yeah. Well, you've heard the expression that we're all connected. We are, right now, we're part of the big universe. And right. Interconnected with everybody else, so that's not going to change. And maybe I think that you, and yet we retain our own individuality. And then when we cross, we have seen and heard mediums bring people through with readings, and they still have their personality, and they still are them. And what we're calling the survival of consciousness. They have their consciousness. So I don't think that ever goes away, but you become more and more aware of just how interconnected all beings are, and which we certainly don't have that knowledge when we're here.
Yeah, and like I think of it also as, you know, on the next level, we see the patterns that happened here, and then maybe the level after that, we see more of the patterns, and when we'll get all the way to the top of the stadium, using that football analogy from that shaman, that we see every pattern from all the different dimensions, and everything comes together. So that's a possibility.
But I have a question about that. Yeah. About do you think that when we are passing, that Is it immediate? I mean, it sounds so Pollyannish to think that all of a sudden you go into this light, which I actually believe. But I often think maybe there's a kind of struggle that we have to go through in order to get to where we are. Where I'm hoping I will go. And I mean, I had dreams of being in the light and extraordinary dreams. And so, but I'm not sure if there isn't just a little bit of my, you know, my ego saying, no, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not going there. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think about it, but I just don't.
I think it's logical to think that. I mean, there also has to be an initial state of confusion for a lot of people, especially if you didn't believe that there's life after death and you thought death was final, and then you wake up and you see that it's not, and that's got to be mind-boggling. You know, so the state of confusion, and then I think as you said, we had certain really, really strong attachments, and maybe there's a lot of people in these channel reports talk about this period of recuperation, and there's help, and there's people that help to nurture you and guide you. And then, as you say, you move to where you're supposed to be. I believe that.
You know, now you have me wondering that going through that period of confusion, or as you said, Bob, waking, you know, like, wait, what just happened? Where am I? What I strongly believe in is a life review. How does that fit in? Because if you're having a life review, then, and again, to remind anyone who hasn't heard us talk about that, I feel that a life review is when everything that's happened throughout your life plays out again, and you see the error of your ways and situations, and you're only judging yourself. Nobody is telling you things are good or bad that you did, but you feel it, especially if you hurt somebody. You feel, my belief is, if you've hurt somebody, you feel that hurt, you caused them to feel. 100 times on you, which I would consider a hell experience, hellish, I guess. But so if there's any kind of confusion then, like, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, where am I? And then the realization. So how would that life review fit in?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I mean, if we go by the evidence from the near-death experience research, the life review happens first as you're passing, because that's when people describe it, and they're not fully over. They have one step on the other side, but they're not fully there, you know, and they come back and they talk about having the life review. So I have to believe that the life review comes right at the moment of passing. But then you raise an interesting point. So you see, but now you have all this information and you have all these feelings and you kind of know where you belong, but that doesn't mean that you're instantly able to go where you belong. I still think that there's nurturing and guidance and mentoring that goes along with that. You know?
Yeah, as Marta said, is there a period of difficulty? And yes, the life review can be difficult if you have not lived a loving and compassionate life. If you have hurt a lot of people, then yeah, there's a period of difficulty. In fact, there's a book that we often refer to, Testimony of Light, where it's a channeled report of the other side of a spirit who is there to help with people who have crossed, and talking about an individual who had such a despicable life that they basically, when they got to the other side, they were in a dark room, and she had to help this person, you know, get through that, the pain of having to live with the pain they cause.
And in that dark room, there were doors, there were windows, but they couldn't find them.
Yeah.
There was a way out, but that person was so, you know, enmeshed in that troublesome life. They needed help finding how to open that door.
Yeah. This person writes that they had a medium reading, and during the reading, the medium began to cry while they were communicating with spirit. And she says, does this happen often? I don't think it happens often, but it happens
sure,
more than you think, because the mediums are so empathic and they're feeling all the emotions. And so it must be overwhelming. But every medium is different, just like we all process our emotions differently. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've cried listening to music at some point, you know, listening to a particular song, you know, so, you know, or maybe if Tom had a rough night and the music wasn't flowing, you start to cry. Or if he was having a good night and he's moving you, you're crying out of joy, you know, so,
yeah.
We have all sorts of triggers. So I don't think mediums are different than anybody else, but it's compounded because, like you talk about in the life review, where they feel, you know, the good and the bad, and they feel that feeling is even doesn't do it justice. It seeps into their soul. And so a medium, when they're communicating and the person, it's almost as if that person is entering their body. So you could see why the emotions overwhelm them, you know?
Yeah.
I was gifted with a reading just for me back in 2006. Bob, it was when we had all attended that retreat in the Bahamas, if you recall that, in 2006. And I was gifted with a reading. Somebody had paid for a reading and was leaving and didn't want to, you know, stick around for the reading. So they wanted me to have it. And Tom's dad came through so strongly, and I recognized him immediately. But the medium at one point, I have the recording of it, so that's why I can remember it so clearly. He started to get choked up, the medium did, as he was conveying some of the information. And you can still hear it in his voice. He said, I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up here. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it probably works the other way, too. Mediums, sometimes they start laughing.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mediums are only human.
Right. All right, here's an interesting one. I've read that the psychic hotlines are a billion-dollar industry. You know, why do you think that is? You know, and they write, you know, do people not like uncertainty? Are they looking for guidance? I think that
I have a problem with that.
I know. Well, first, before we even answer it, we should say that most of those psychic hotlines are bullshit. Really, you know? I mean, they don't qualify. You know, they're people, and there's no way of you determining whether they're right or wrong because they're giving you most of the time information that is supposed to happen in the future. So how could you evaluate it? You know, because that the future hasn't happened.
Yeah.
At least in this physical world, you know. So, you know, but that's one thing. But yeah, I think that that's right. People, they don't like uncertainty. They like to know what's going to happen. I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, do you want to know what the future holds for you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
No, I water shaking your head. I don't think I want to know either. But why do so many people obviously want to know?
Well, you know, it could be that crossroads. A lot of people with their careers, they're torn. They're just a little stuck. I've actually had some close friends recently say, you know, I really would like to hear, you know, what a psychic to direct me, like the next part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, retirement age, and they know they want to do something.
Yeah, and they think of them.
I went to a medium who was also billed as a psychic, and I've heard from my dad a lot and my mom, and so I was kind of interested in the psychic part of things because I had something coming up which may have resulted in a lawsuit, and I wanted to know, what do you see about this issue? Is it going to go to court? And he told me, no, I don't see that. So it kind of changed my path. I didn't go down that road of litigation. So from that point of view, I guess it was useful. If he had said, oh, yeah, I see you going to court and doing very well, I probably would have gone to court. But the fact that he didn't even see a court battle, I thought, well, maybe I don't have a case or some, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky because you don't know, you know, what to believe. And as we always say, that there are many forks in the road and many different futures, and our own free will and the free will of others are constantly in play. So the psychic really could be seeing one of the pathways, but that doesn't mean it's going to play out that way. So, that, you know, I usually caution people to be careful about making major life decisions on, you know, what a psychic is telling you, because that could change, you know.
And it could be just food for thought, like just presenting some things. Oh, I never thought of that, or I never looked at it that way. But not making a big action based on what they say.
Yeah. And as Tom knows, I'll gladly take the psychic information on the football games if they want. And I'll take that under consideration. Doesn't mean I'm going to follow it. Well, I mean, last week, who'd you tell me to bet on? I think the Bears.
Oh, and the Bears, yeah. Bears,
and I said the Bears. Of course, the Bears won. And then you said the last Sunday, you said the Lions.
Well, I was in Michigan. I'm from Michigan. The Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So I didn't listen to it twice. The next time I'm going to listen. You know what's going to happen.
So are you suggesting Marta maybe our psychic here in our group?
I don't know. I'm still evaluating the evidence.
Well, and there are hidden talents in that regard. I remember at work there was a pool, of course, a football pool, and one of the secretaries always won, or well, not always, but won a lot. And so say, wow, you must know a lot about football. No, I picked the one with the better uniform.
Oh, I was just telling that exact story to Marta. I have one of my closest friends. You know, we would sit there every week with all the statistics and handicap and blah, blah, blah. And then I'd always ask his wife because she was extremely psychic and intuitive. And I learned eventually to throw out all the statistics and just see what Linda said to bet. And one day I asked her, like, how do you determine it? She says, by the color of the uniforms. Exactly what you just said.
It's two people that it works for.
I know.
We're on to something here.
Oh, now I could have saved so much money over there.
Yeah, but what if you don't have a good fashion sense and you don't know that it's a good uniform?
You know, I don't think it's the uniform, the color per se, but you know how mediums sometimes use tarot cards or other things as to focus on, you know, maybe that helps.
That's it, right.
And you know, I don't have a problem with that if that's a tool that got them started, but they should have trust in their abilities at a certain point.
Right.
That they, and I know it's probably a comfort thing, something to just hold on to, but they don't need it.
No, they don't. Let's see, we've got 3 or 4 minutes left. Do mediums ever lose their abilities?
We have some theories.
I think, from everything that I've seen over the years, I would say yes. Lots of times it's more of a case of their abilities are not that strong, you know, as they get older and their readings are not as evidential. Now, there could be a million reasons for that. You know, maybe they're not as focused. Maybe they're not, you know, once you lose interest in something, I think that affects, you know, ability. Or maybe there's a other explanation. Maybe there's a spirit explanation and spirit's not happy with the readings and they pull back. So I don't know. But I have noticed in some mediums, you know, not a lot, that it wanes. I mean, have you noticed that at all?
I think, you know, I've noticed that ego can get in the way.
Yeah.
I have seen some excellent mediums who later on down the road have gained a modicum of success, and there you can tell in their swagger that it's all about, well, me, I'm this and I'm that, and then their readings are not quite there anymore. So I've seen ego get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You would think that when you get older, that you would be more in touch. I'm speaking as an older person, but you would be more open to the universe and to the other worlds and that are out there. I'm just saying because I feel that I have much more compassion and empathy and in not just in my everyday life, but just in the idea about what the universe brings to me, and I feel closer. Maybe because I'm closer to passing, but I feel closer to the universe, to the energy, to the life experience, and the other world experience. But you know, I'm not a medium, so I don't have anything to measure. But I would think that the ego would probably get in the way after a while if you take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
And at first I said, oh, you know, Martyr's wearing a cross, but then when you look closely,
it's a dragonfly.
It's a dragonfly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. Yep. It's a gift.
Okay. Well, I think really not enough time to get started. Another question. So we'll start our global peace prayer. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
Oh, and I'd like to say and remind everyone, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to accept it.
Well, thank you, everyone. Good night. We'll see you next show next month, and have a good weekend. So we'll talk to everybody soon. Be safe.
You too.
Wonderful to see you all.
Wonderful to see you.
Thank you.